listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life service for Wednesday, January 25th, 2017. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Good evening. Glad to be here.
And of course, Michael Kelly here with us as well, producing from behind the scenes and occasionally making an appearance.
Good evening, everybody. Happy to be here.
It's good to see everybody with us tonight, those in the chat room, those listening to the archives. We appreciate your time. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. We have a number of educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, where we offer bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal, and several other areas, and Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief, as is customary. The first one is, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And number 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read all of these in their expanded form, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. So, appreciate that. We are back to the original computer for our broadcast tonight, so hopefully the levels, the volume levels are a little better than they have been over the last couple of weeks. So, looks like they might be judging from the chatter in the chat room. All right, so tonight we've got 3 different areas we're going to cover, in addition to doing our inner oracle cards at the end. I'm going to talk about a pay it forward experience from one of my students, and then Dr. Hunter is going to cover managing psychic abilities, but specifically aimed at empathic abilities. And then I want to talk about embracing and releasing the inner child, and we'll get a little bit more into that when we get to that point. The first thing I'd like to share, and I like to share these pay it forward stories as often as I can, is, and if you have one, please email it to me, admin@icmhchurch.org, or you can, if you're a student, you can send it to the Metaphysics Institute address or the Thomas Francis address. The admin addresses, any of those will get to us. This, in course B1 at IMHS, we have a little exercise that students go through. It's a pay it forward. It's basically a doing right exercise, which is essentially paying it forward. And so I've read some previous experiences and previous programs, but I'd like to read this one because I think there's some good lessons in it and good reminders in it. This student writes, after Christmas, we rented a cabin in a small coastal hamlet, which has maybe 5 to 10 residents during this period. And as such, you see the same faces going through their morning rituals. Part of my morning ritual is to be up before everyone else and walk on the beach with my dog. It's my time to ponder life. Setting out this particular morning, I noticed a local resident. If we bumped into each other, we'd normally nod, say good morning, and go in different directions. The old gent always looked deep in thought and almost distant from life. So this morning, with this assignment in mind, I took the opportunity of wishing him a hearty good morning and hanging back slightly to let him go down the steps first. When he arrived on the beach, he turned right, so did I, and I made a simple yet obvious comment about the weather. I followed up his reply with an observation about the day before and a washed-up gray seal. This led to a lengthy conversation about other sea creatures that inhabit the local coastline, which led into his reasons for moving there 10 years ago. Long story short, he was a river and canal man, but his wife always wanted to retire to the coast. Since they had, she was happy to sit and watch the sea, which meant that through the winter months, with the lack of inhabitants, it was pretty much a lonely existence. Even the morning walk had become ritualized in a process. He continues, I was conscious, though, about doing no harm, meaning if he wanted to be quiet or not talk, then I wasn't going to force the conversation or make him feel awkward or pushed into talking. As we talked, he visibly walked taller, looser, and brisker. His face developed character even during the quiet moments. He even commented that although he did the same walk every morning, he'd forgotten how dramatic and beautiful the coastline was. In short, I got a sense that his energy had been reawakened and connected with the energy around him. Making my way up to the cabin, I noticed that I too felt uplifted and charged, and that I too seemed to feel more connected to the scenery. It felt satisfying knowing that the simple act of starting a conversation with a relative stranger could be transformational for both of us. Interesting enough, my wife bumped into him the following day and noticed an energy shift similar to what I had noticed. So there were several things here that the student had learned from this experience. And, you know, it's not a very complicated experience. And I'm sure all of us have had a similar type of experience. But his basic lessons were when we interact with people on a human level, they benefit and we benefit. Because that's the point of connecting with people. It's about people. Life is about people and relationships. It's not about technology. It's about people in our lives. It's connecting with others. It's encouraging them. And as I've always said, one of the greatest gifts we can give anybody is just an encouraging word. It's a great gift because it's uplifting. It uplifts them and it uplifts us. And as they say, you know, we get more out of it. We get more from it by giving it away than we do by keeping it. So that's just a great experience. And so, you know, if you have an opportunity, you know, put your toes in the water there. Try to strike up a conversation with somebody if the opportunity presents and see where it goes. You know, and don't forget to ask questions and be careful not to dominate the conversation, but try to learn about people. What's their story? Who are they? What do they do? It's always interesting stuff.
I love those stories.
Yeah.
I love those stories. People are interesting. They do have a story. And when you connect, it's the acknowledgement. And one of the things I really try to do now is, if I get a text from somebody, I say, awesome, are you home? I can phone you. Because I don't want to do that. Or even the messaging on Facebook and so on. And I say, oh, can we take this to a phone? And I'm amazed how many people blow it off. They're busy, or they're out and about, and I say, well, we'll carry this on, you know, in a conversation later, because I want to connect with people. You know, I mean, I have done my best to not get in that trap of just technology, but now I'm actually making a greater concerted effort to we're going to talk on the phone. Thanks. It's a voice. It's connecting. And exchanging and interacting with other people. It's really important.
Yep. Great stuff. So let's switch gears now. Let's get into basically managing psychic ability with an emphasis on empathic ability.
Well, you know, this has actually been brought up before. And, you know, we've had other inquiries about it. And I know Dr. Angie in particular had written in about being empathetic and an empath. And feeling other people's feelings, and particularly how they're feeling physically. So an empath can tune in at many different levels. You can telepathically connect in thought. You can connect in emotion. And you can also then, again, we go into more of an empathetic sense of, which is emotional, get into how people are emotionally feeling and their physicality. So this is the distinction that I think is really important to make here, is the empathy versus the empath. So, you know, we're all sensory beings. We pick up on energy all the time. Some of us are really sensitive to it. Others, not so much. And then there's the empath that goes a little bit deeper in sensing more than what would, I think, be explainable. So it's kind of like the difference between what's an autosensory perception with that third eye that we all have to some degree, or that intuition, psychic ability that's not explainable. So when we are exchanging, when you're especially in a healing, you know, as a healing agent or conduit, you're going to pick up on a lot of different vibes. And how do you manage that? The other thing is going through your day and just randomly picking up on stuff from people. And how do you manage that? So this is what's really important to acknowledge that I have learned for myself. Because I do pick up on other people's feelings. If I tune in a reading, I say, oh, I just got a pain in my neck. Have you been having trouble? Or, oh, my heart just started pounding. Have you had some blood pressure issue? Or if my heart feels wet, strangely enough, then I feel sadness with them. So I have all these different signals, but I have literally felt somebody's physical pain. So what I do, though, as soon as it's acknowledged, I release that. So here's the thing about intuitive thought and the work of an empath. Once it's acknowledged, it releases. You got to let it go. I'm going to tell you how to do that in a second. But the other thing, as somebody who is particularly empathetic, you're connecting at an emotional level as well as the physical level. So what happens there is emotional. So we're emotional with people. You know, we're sensing their feelings, and we have this sympathy and empathy, and because we think we know how they feel and we're translating it through our own process, it activates our own emotional process, is what I'm trying to say. So getting to know yourself better is really important, and working through your own stuff, but also then being able to separate. Now here's that free will. You know, and all the lessons you learn at IMHS and, you know, Life Leadership Program and so on is to allow that space between someone else and yourself. And I don't care if they're animals, people, you know, any number of other, again, environment. You just have to allow that separation. So you have to have your own autonomy. So when you do feel something, ask yourself, number one, is this something that I really connect with, and I have to acknowledge my own feelings about myself, let them go, and then tune in fairly to somebody else in order to help them, if that's your job. So if you're tuning in randomly with other people, that's not your job. Just say, oh, I just picked up on something from somebody. And then you have to let it go. So emotional versus intuitive. Both require self-awareness. Both really require you to be able to separate yourself. And in that has to be, geez, and I know this is going to sound really cold, it has to go to that place of almost, this is none of my business and I can't care about this. And I don't mean to sound, you know, inhumane about it. It's that's the protection. So there, you've got a mentality that's kicking in to say, that's their deal. That's in free will zone. I'm in my free will zone, and that's got nothing to do with me. Okay, so we're all connected. The thing is, you can turn it on when you need to, but turn it off when you need to as well. There was a time in my life where I couldn't, my kids will tell you this too, I couldn't be in a shopping mall longer than 10 minutes. The energy, it's just, it's thick. And of course, I was too much of a sponge and I hadn't learned the skill of tuning out. And really it's tuning out. So you have to think to yourself, I'm here for my own purpose. I'm going shopping and whatever else I'm doing there, you know, being with the kids or something else or going for coffee and just tuning out the rest of the world. Now, the minute I put my head up and I look around and I kind of people watching, I can do it kind of remotely and tune in. But why do I want to do that? I find people really interesting. But I have to be less interested so that I'm not infected. I know that sounds kind of strange, but if you're really tuned in to people all the time, you're just going to hurt yourself and you're going to take on their illness. Now, the other thing that I think is important is to channel energy, not think that you've got some great skill to be able to handle all the negative stuff in the world. Because we're all human and stuff gets stuck. And then we get this other cellular memory and debris. And so you got to be really careful with that. Now, Dr. Angie is going in the chat room at the moment and typing a couple of things that I'd like to say. First being, she's got a severe allergic reaction. It hit her very hard and put her down for a few weeks. She went to the allergist, rolled out a whole bunch of stuff, and it wouldn't clear up. Well, her dog got hit with it too, and hers didn't clear up until the dog's did. It hit almost at the same time. It could be a coincidence, but this happens so much it doesn't seem coincidence. Now, I'm with you there. But let's turn this around for a second. Animals can very often, and there's scientific, you know, proof on this, animals can smell disease, and they behave differently. There are dogs that can smell cancer and or react when their master, owner, whomever gets sick. So animals are very, very sensitive to anything that's out of order. If there's any kind of a chaos in a body, and they sense that. So, Dr. Andrew, because you're an animal communicator, I'm going to say that you've taken on some of those sensory perceptions of what an animal does. Now, as bizarre as that sounds to some people, I don't think it's very strange at all because you connect at that level. What you need to do is separate. So she goes on to say, down further in the chat here, she said, I get that, but it's not working. I don't even know I'm doing it until I see the manifestation in one of the animals or a loved one. Again, it may not even be that, but it sure seems like it. Okay. Gather your forces and find your autonomy. And, of course, Dr. Angie also writes, she doesn't seem to get it so much for strangers, more loved ones and animals. And it's definitely related to being overly concerned. And I appreciate that. And I don't mean any disrespect to say this to you, but you are overly concerned because you wrote it. You are too concerned about other people's well-being. You're trying to get ahead of it and forewarn them. So that's emotional. That's an emotional consideration for you. Sometimes it's about control, and I can understand the nurturing that each of us has. When my kids lived at home, that alert button was on all the time with me. And if I told my kids, oh, wait a minute, you can't go out yet. And because I was on high alert. When my kids left home, I had to shut that off. So this is over many years now, because my eldest daughter is going to be 38 next week. So you can appreciate it's a long time. I had to learn to detach. I had to learn to get my own emotions in check. that I can't keep tuning into my kids to see if they're going to be okay. Because it's a violation, number one, and I'm driving myself bonkers, number two. So, over time, I got better refined at the red flag versus caution. So instead of being on high alert all the time, I could learn to calm down and trust, I'm getting a vibe here, and it is a red flag, and I can know when somebody's in trouble. So that's where you can develop yourself too. So it's getting your emotions in check. That these are really good sensory perceptions for you to have. But then it's to learn to isolate them, focus on them, where is it, with whom, how, which animal, and then get it checked out. No, there's no indication. This reminds me of saying, like, I drive my car all the time. I know when something's not right. I go to the mechanic, and they say, oh, it seems fine to me. Of course, that's always the way. Then I drive for another couple of days. Sure enough, it breaks down. But I already knew that, you see. So this is the thing, you know way in advance because you can feel it. But until something shows up, you can't get help for it anyway. So you have to be able to accept that about life. If there's a time to step in to be of assistance, that's fine. But you can't fix everybody, you can't change everybody. And, it's being able to control your emotions and gain that skill. It's tough. I'm the first one to say it's a tough one. Dr. Angie also just wrote, I can smell cancer too. My dogs can smell infections and alert me before something hits. See, that I think that's a really extraordinary gift that you have and an ability. But now it's to temper it. Excuse me. So it's being able to get stronger in yourself emotionally. What's your business? What's not your business? What can you possibly do about it? I get random things about family members, friends, whatever, from the cosmos. I acknowledge it. Nothing I can do about it. It's not my business. But if I think there's something, maybe it's just to say, hey, how are you? And let somebody else step forward if they want to share. So again, it's that being respectful, but more respectful of yourself so that you don't take on all that energy and get sick. So, and she says, crap, that's true.
Great stuff. Great stuff. You know, I really appreciated your point on the difference. We need to define the difference between being empathetic and empathic.
Yeah.
You know, and so we don't want to confuse one with the other. You know, we can show empathy, but that's different than, you know, taking on empathic feelings or manifestations and so forth.
It's a tough one to learn. It's a real tough one to learn. You got to really dig deep to get a hold of your own issues. You know, it's like, ooh, I have an issue. And any time I've recognized, oh, this is triggering something in me, I acknowledge it and set it aside and still deal with the situation as it is. And then remember to go back. Don't just set it aside. You got to go back and say, what is that issue that I have? Because obviously I thought I dealt with that, but I'm feeling it, so I really haven't dealt with it.
So acknowledge and release it, you know, but also do the introspection to determine why it's continuing. But, you know, you hit on a number of things that really fall right into place with the life leadership paragon. You know, obviously self-acceptance, accept our abilities, but that's not an issue. But probably the two that I'm thinking here is respect for free will and personal responsibility. Be careful not to assume responsibility, even in an empathic way, for another person anyway. And I think everything you said, you know who you are and why you are who you are. Be careful not to cross boundaries that, even though you have good intent, remember about the dark side of doing right, which was discussed in the first bachelor's course in the program. You know, we may try to have all the best intent in the world, and we want to try to help people, but they may not want it. And so that's why we don't give unsolicited advice and do all those things, because it's a boundary violation. So it's a matter of learning who you are and learning how to turn it off and not go there. And if you try and you try and you try and it's not working, then I only have two words: stop it. And you have to say that to yourself.
I know. Dr. Angie's writing more stuff, and it's really interesting. And, you know, I'm really grateful for you to share this because I think a lot of people can relate to it. And when you are sharing so much energy with other people and you're mimicking their illness, you're in that shared energy space. And that is a stop it. That's a stop doing that. You just have to stop it. And you have to trust that we are all connected all the time. You don't have to be so conscious of it that it's in your body. But here's the other thing. There's a lot of other reasons people get sick psychically, which has nothing to do necessarily with, you know, whatever else. There can be an awakening of cellular memory. There can be through daytime dreaming. You know, you can find all these different explanations that it can be. And she's saying that this stuff has gone on since childhood. I would say stop trying to figure it out. Honestly, just own it and just say, oh, here's another one. Take one of them at a time and try to isolate the thought, recover your energy, and say, okay, I have to stop that. So that you're in control of you. And that's you being, and I know control is kind of an aggressive word, but think in terms of managing. I'm the boss of me. I'm the manager of me. And I think that my old teacher, Magda, said to me, one of the first things she said to me was, psychics get sick. All psychics get sick. And she said, you know why they get sick? And of course, I'm going, no. She said, because they don't know how to replenish their energy. They're too busy sharing their energy. And it's true. And, you know, I tell you those lessons very early on. I'm so blessed that way. But it's true. It's you got to replenish. I have never known somebody who isn't in, you know, isn't doing some kind of mediumship or, you know, psychic work who isn't ill to some degree or have stuff, and myself included. But it's about replenishing your own energy, owning yourself, feed yourself. And, you know, make sure you got that little barrier between you and other people. And it's, you got to be kind of hard-nosed about it. Sometimes you just do. Say, you know what, I can't keep doing that. And not to the point where you're going to make it backfire and make you sick either. But let it breathe and release it. Just own your own stuff. And find ways that bring you joy to, you know, fire yourself back up again and be a better focuser and manager of it.
And, you know, visualizations are great for this. I think I wrote about this in the psychic development course, M7. But I knew a psychic many years ago, and she had to learn a way to manage it. And her way, she wasn't an empath per se, but she, you know, she would see spirits, and they would come and ask her for help. And what she did was she likened it to a doctor's office where there's a waiting room and then there's the patient room, you know, where you see the patient. And there were times that she was open for business and times that she was closed for business. And during those times that she was closed and somebody wanted something, she says, I'm closed right now. Sorry. Come back when I'm open.
Not and on duty.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever visualization works for you, but that's a good visualization or analogy, you know, I'm closed right now. I'm closed for business right now. So I'm not taking that on. I'm not going there because I'm closed right now. When I'm open, we'll deal with it. But then after I close, we're closed. And I don't feel that anymore. So
hospitals and funerals. Hospitals and funerals, the worst. I go in kind of like with my head down and hope that the spirits don't know that I can see them. Because, like, then they, when one gets your attention, they all do. I say, sorry, like, I'm not working today. You know?
Yep.
I got a different, sorry, guys, not talking to you. And keep going.
Yep.
No, you can't do it.
So, anyway, you can listen back to this archive, too, and see if, remind yourself of some of the different points, ponder on them. meditate on them and try them out. But as a last resort, you have to basically take control and say, stop it. And then just stop that and move on. Just change the channel. Don't keep dwelling on it. Think about something new, something different. And hopefully those things will help. All right, let's switch gears again, and I'll mention right now that if you would like a card, inner oracle card pulled, please put your name in the chat room, and Michael will make a list of those, and we'll get to those here in just a few minutes. The final topic for the evening, though, is embracing and releasing the inner child. And to begin this discussion, I'm just going to ask you to think, what does that mean to you? I mean, think about it for a minute. What does it mean to you? Well, here's what I want to focus on. Most of us, if not all of us, you know, we go through childhood, we emerge as young adults and then adults, and we usually bring stuff with us. And that stuff can be baggage, it can be the wrong lessons learned because our parents didn't know any better, or we learned wrong lessons from other adults, but we bring these things into adulthood. Another big thing that we bring into adulthood is guilt. We may have done something, said something, whatever, and we feel guilty about it. And so we bring that into adulthood. And that all has an adverse effect on our self-esteem. It's one of the reasons why so many adults have low self-esteem. Most people do. So, you know, when I say to embrace the inner child, that means to understand that when you were a child, the things you did, the things you said, you were a child. And you have, as an adult now, you have to allow that same, let off the hook type of thing as you would any child. You know, you look at a child, just picture a child. Maybe it's your son or your daughter or niece or nephew or somebody you know. And they do something. They're a child. They're not fully developed. They're not emotionally developed. They haven't grown up. So they do things. That's how we all learn. It's experience. There is no other way. And we all do stupid things. We do things we regret. And the thing is that we understand that about children. So embracing your inner child means to understand that you were a child. And now to release that, what I mean by that, release that inner child is, you know, acknowledge that you are a child, and whatever you brought with you, you understand that's just as it should be. It's called experience, called growing up, and there were some tough years growing up. But now as an adult, the time has come to take your power back, to say, I acknowledge that was a child, and now I am going to take control of myself as an adult. I'm not going to carry any guilt for anything that I did as a child. I am going to redefine who I am as an adult. Remember that some of the stuff we bring with us are improper lessons learned either from our parents or from others, not necessarily because they meant to teach you wrong, but because they didn't know any better. So they pass that along. That happens so much, it's a big problem in this world. So as adults now, we have to reinvent ourselves. We have to choose what our core values will be. We have to choose who we will be. We should never, ever, ever say, well, that's just the way I was raised. That's a cop-out. That's shirking responsibility. You never say that. Yeah, you might have been raised that way, but that does not excuse that kind of poor behavior in adulthood. Once you know better, you gotta change. You can't just say that's the way I was raised. It's not an acceptable reason. It's an excuse. It's not a reason. So embrace the inner child. You know, acknowledge that you were a child. Whatever you did as a child is just part of the learning experience and part of growing up. Now as an adult, release that inner child by redefining who you are as an adult, because you're no longer a child. And they talk about the inner child. I get that. I understand its place, but it's not a huge place. We may all have an inner child in the context with which I'm speaking here, but that part of us, we just need to understand. That child's gone. I mean, that child's grown up now. You need to embrace who you are now. Redefine who you are now. Choose your core values. Choose how you'll behave. Choose what you believe in. Choose all the good stuff. And as you grow in awareness, that will just evolve and grow. Now, there's other ways of looking at this, too. Dr. Hunter had one and I'll let her talk about that.
Well, I actually have two, and the first one is parenting yourself. You know, yeah. when you know you're acting like a child. Like, whoa, you know, it's that's the child in me. Where did that come from? And that can be bad or good. It could be a negative behavior or even, you know, something else that's like a little corny. And you say, whoa, I think I need to grow that up. And so I call it that emotional catch up, actually, because I know a lot of grown people who act like children. And I say, whoa, they're smart. They're in an adult body, but there's something like from 8 years old, they're still there. So it's like growing up your emotion and parenting yourself in that way. So on that topic. But the other is, you know, learning how to remembering the fun of being a kid, because that kid still exists in you. And it brings to mind, I was taking my recycling in the other day and some bottles, and the guys in the back are playing this Frank Sinatra piece, and one guy's whistling, and I start grooving, you know, like putting on my shoulders, doing a little dance. And another guy comes up, he says, "You can't go wrong with Frank Sinatra." I said, "It makes me want to get my groove on." So we're just like doing a little, you know, jig there. And, oh, they give me my ticket, I go get my cash, and other people, you know, they're all very serious, and they got this real funky music. Now, I used to embarrass my kids, you know, "Mom, don't do that," because I'll do that in a department store, but there's music, or in a store. And really fortunate now to have reconnected with an old school chum the last few years and found out she does it too. We're both shopping for the grandkids, and the music's playing, and wow, she's grooving too. So, you know, you got to bring that kid out. You got to enjoy yourself a little bit and have fun and not worry about, you know, there's a difference between acting childish and acting youthful and fun. So that's how, you know, you bring out that kid in yourself. And the key is to enjoying life, you know, that just the kid that you were is still in you. You just have to parent that child sometimes and integrate it, assimilate that child into who you are now at all levels, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, so that you're whole in the here now.
All right, very good. So let's get to some inner oracle card readings. Inner oracle cards are simply a deck of self-discovery cards that are designed to help us grow, give us ideas. They are 54 cards in 5 suits. And along with another 9 wild cards, which are kind of interesting. And they just get you thinking. So we've got several. We're going to bring Michael on to start us off. Huh?
Well, I see one for Teresa first there, Michael, if you want to pull one.
Yeah, absolutely. Excuse me. All right, Teresa. I pulled number 38, open-mindedness.
Good one.
Very good one. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
That's a good one. You know, Teresa just made a comment in the chat that sometimes she's been accused of acting immature when she's angry. And, you know, I think we're all a little bit like that. So I just like to share something with you. As I say, push the pause button. If you're starting to feel that way, push the pause button. Count to 3 if you have to. And ask yourself, what do I hope to achieve by saying this? And if it means that, you know, that gets you thinking for a second, that, you know, and then also consider where the source is coming from and process that really quickly. And you'll get pretty good at it, you know, after a little time. Take a breath. And even if you say, I have to remove myself because I'm emotionally, you know, unsettled, so that you're in control of how you behave. Anger is not a bad thing. got to tell you, everybody, you know, people are so hip on, I don't want to get angry. But anger's not a bad thing, because anger actually inspires us to get inventive, creative. It's a motivator. It's passion. So what is it that you're feeling in those moments? So it maybe gets you to think of a new strategy, you know, a new tactic. Maybe it just says, you know, there's nothing here to get mad about. I'm just in a bad mood. <You know? laughs> and walk away. So ask yourself, just push the pause button. Visualize that in your head. Finger on the pause button. What do I hope to achieve by saying blah, blah, blah? So yep. That you are your own life's manager. It takes a lot for anybody to inspire me to get angry. And even then, I'm pretty much in control of it, because it's just not worth it. I can get angry, but then it's got, that energy has to go somewhere, and hopefully more constructive and not in a destructive way. So again, that's parenting yourself, little tactics to parent yourself.
And don't forget to not catch the ball. We talked about that in, I think it was course B4.
Yeah.
If I remember right, don't catch the ball. When we catch the ball, we react. There's a difference between responding and reacting.
Sure is. So,
good point.
Tabitha is next, Michael, if you have your cards there.
Oh, of course. All right. All right. And pull number 41, communication.
Another good one.
The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
That kind of ties in with the pay it forward story. When we strike up a conversation, it needs to be an equal exchange. Mm-hmm. And one other thing that I meant to say on the last card, which kind of ties in, is just the thought that nobody's more worthy of our best behavior than us. All right. Let's move on.
Fran is next, Michael.
All right, Fran. Let's see. Wild card. Wild card number 3, blocks.
Blocks?
Mm-hmm.
Blocks, yeah.
All right. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required. Remain open.
See, I like that one because it requires intuition and a good self-understanding, I think, of knowing when to move forward, knowing when to just sit still, know when to observe, you know when to participate. And again, that's right back to self-awareness. I think that's a really good card. Just, you know, sometimes you got to have patience and let things, you know, flow.
Yep. All right. So I think that was the last of the cards, right? Nobody else wants a card.
Not that I saw.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then we'll start. Oh, Heather would like one. Let's do one more, and then we'll start wrapping it up.
All right. Dr. Hunter, did you want to grab one, or would you like me to do one?
Sure. I got one right here. Hi, Heather. Groundedness. Groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment. until you have considered all the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found. So however this might relate to a situation or an event perhaps in your life at the moment, it's, you know, don't believe everything that you're told and just stay in your own self and kind of observe and wait for more information. I like that one because it can't believe everything you're told, right, in the world. So however you relate to that, Heather, but that's how I kind of read that. Examine your beliefs and don't be swayed by others and collect some information before you, you know, assimilate more that maybe doesn't belong to you.
All right. So tonight we started off the program with another Pay It Forward story, basically teaching that, you know, take opportunities to talk with people, to interact with people and learn about people. Find out their story and share yours. We talked a lot about managing psychic and empathic abilities, embracing and releasing the inner child, having fun. We talked as far as the inner oracle cards, open-mindedness, communication, blocks, and groundedness. And so hopefully tonight we had some information that you were looking for that was encouraging and uplifting, and that's, of course, the point of what we're trying to do. We really appreciate everybody joining us tonight. Let others know about it. And let them know about the schools, too, if they could benefit from those. We appreciate those listening to the archive. Thanks to Dr. Hunter and to Michael for being part of this as well. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.